105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Cambridge's gorilla knitter, known only as the Willow Wanderer, has been brightening up the city with brightly coloured knits wrapped around telegraph poles, lampposts and trees for the past 2 years. Her latest creation, a knitted bike, is currently moving around the city to promote You Can Bike Too. Under cover of darkness, Willow came into Cambridge 105 yesterday evening. Thanks for coming in. What made you start the gorilla knitting?
It was about, it was last year in June. It was International Yarn Bombing Day, and I wanted to be part of it.
So there's an international day for this?
There is. I think it's the 5th of or 6th of June, and I realised the night before it was just about to happen, so I threw something together and put it on a lamppost at the end of the road.
And that was how it all began. Do you prefer, yeah. There's lots of terms for this, isn't there? There's yarn bombing, there's gorilla knitting as well.
And yarn storming.
Yarn storming.
As I've just discovered today, yeah. I think I might use that one. Yeah, I'll, and a couple of tags on my blog as well, if I tag yarn storm in them. Anybody who's doing a search for yarn bombing, gorilla knitting, yarn storming, they'll be able to pick it up.
And pop up as well on that. So presumably you've been doing the crochet and knitting and all that, sort of those elements of craft for some time before you've sort of made the step into the yarn bombing.
Yeah, a couple of scarves. Nothing very exciting, though. I'm not the sort of knitter who does jumpers and things like that. I'm nothing technical. It was more to be able to create pieces of fabric to be able to work with. That's the sort of thing I did before. And, yeah, and then it just led to this.
So what was that first site, then, which was the subject of the first attack, as it were? What did you do there?
It was the lamppost at, without revealing where I live, although you've probably guessed now, outside the HSBC bank on Chesterton Road. And okay. It was quite tiny, but it kicked off such a fuss. People loved it. So obviously Cambridge was ready for something like that.
And how does it work? You have the, if you like, the wrap, which might go round the lamppost, and then you some means to tie it, some cotton or some thread to neaten it up.
I measure what I'm going to cover.
So you case the joint beforehand?
Absolutely. Yeah, I go out in the middle of the night. I measure up. And the first time I did it, I actually sewed the piece on to the lamppost. But since then, I've been introduced to cable ties, and it saved me hours.
So just in and out, and then what happens? You're hiding around the corner, having looking at the people marvelling at your work.
Yeah, and to be honest, the fact that Cambridge News picked it up the first time, I didn't expect that at all. And they came looking for me, and they asked local shop owners if they knew who I was. So it just took me by surprise that so many people were interested.
Because it's really colourful, and when you see the pictures of the work, I think particularly of the one, I think it's around about Christmas time, around by the Portland Arms, and there was so much colour which had gone into it, you know, a lamppost here and I think a tree there, which had all been covered in your work.
Well, it's such a grotty area in some ways, you know, without putting the area totally down, it does need some redevelopment, and maybe we're not all that confident in the redevelopment plans that are going ahead. And I just wanted to spruce it up, and also everybody was fed up with the weather. So, and it was perfect.
I love it in the paper when, you know, these things appear. And I remember particularly, and I know, I don't think this was actually even your work on St Matthew's Street, the two cherry trees outside the Cherry Trees Club. And somebody had put some rather knitted cherries on there because the blossom hadn't yet appeared. It was rather dull, and they put them on there. And I remember standing there with a friend and just like marvelling at what had happened and what had gone on.
Yeah, I love it. I love that what I've done has inspired other people. And I actually got a call from the newspaper on the day it went up asking me if I'd done it. And I said, no, I'm in the Lake District. What are you talking about?
I love the denials. I'm not saying that was you who did that at all. But it's like some, you know, South American freedom fighter.
Absolutely.
Who's been said that, did you do that? No, that wasn't mine.
It's not on my turf. And, you know, not that it's about turf wars, but I have done things around my local neighbourhood. That's what it's been about. There's plenty of knitters all over Cambridge, and I think people want to start doing things themselves. So, you know, not saying that anybody shouldn't do other areas that they don't live in, but I've concentrated on Chesterton, and maybe, I don't know, I feel silly for saying that, but
Did you like the clandestine nature of it all? The fact that there is a secrecy about it all? I'm sort of marginally disappointed that you haven't come in, you know, wearing a brightly coloured balaclava helmet or anything like that.
I had to cycle here, so I would have looked a bit silly. I never intended it to be like that, but my blog, there are some references to who I am on my blog, and I've made mistakes in that way. But it's not about me. It's about the work, and it's about enjoying the colour and the creativity. It's not about self-promotion. And so when I, from the first time I was contacted by the press, I just thought, well, tell them I'm the Willow Wanderer. That's the name of the blog. And I've just gone along with it because people love it.
Tell me about the bike, which has appeared in a few places now. I think it started off at the Asda in Coldham's Lane and has popped up in a few other locations around the city. Who's that made of?
You Can Bike Too is a charity that approached me because they loved all the on-bumming that I'd done. And basically, we tried to think together of what we could do to promote the Cambridge Bike Festival that they're setting up, that's taking place on Saturday, the 22nd of June. And we came up with the idea of covering a bike. Not one of their bikes, because they have very expensive bikes built for disabled. Mm. So this was just a junk bike that was basically
standard issue push bike as much as anything else.
It was donated. I had it stripped, and then I covered it. And over 10 weeks, it's going from location to location, 1 week in each place, so that everybody in the city can see it. And everybody in the city can hear about the Cambridge Bike Festival.
And is it part of the thrill that nobody quite knows where the bike is going to turn up next?
Yeah, that's the idea of the charity. That's what they want. They want people to be looking out for it and to tweet as soon as they see it. Who's the first to find it?
Drawing the publicity for the... We actually had them in on this programme a few weeks back. That's a great organisation doing some good work. I wondered, are you worried about it being stolen? Have you sort of... produce some extra strong thread to use as a lock or anything like that?
We've got locks, but when I first said I'd do it, I said to Ruth from You Can Too, I said, don't worry if it gets stolen, I'll just do another one. But when I finished doing it, I said, there's no way.
But how long does it take?
I'll
pop a picture on our Facebook page just so everybody can have a look for themselves. But it's a beautiful work of art in itself.
Oh, thanks. I spent the whole week in the Lake District knitting, but I'd already measured all the pieces so I knew what to go on. And then off and on the next 2 weeks after I got back, just basically getting it ready, sewing all the pieces together. But even since I installed it in Asda, every week I bring it home to change the clues, because there's clues on there as well.
Clues leading to what? Into the locations?
Not to the next location. Clues about the bike festival, where it's going to be, who's it for. That's the idea from the charity. And I tweak it a little bit. I might sew up a little bit more. And I covered the basket last week because it wasn't quite perfect. Well, not that it's ever going to be perfect, but it wasn't quite as good as it could be.
So everywhere it appears, it's going to look just ever so slightly different from the last time.
It's going to look sleek.
It's going to look sleek.
It's beautiful, though, and I'm so proud of it. It's a real piece of art.
And you're leaving town.
I am. I have to leave in July.
If you feel you're worried, your cover's blowing. You need to move on somewhere else.
I know. Maybe Cambridge is over it now. I don't know. No, my husband's job means I have to move on in July.
So be going to, do you think you'll start, you better not say where you're going.
I don't know.
Your husband
where I'm
will
going.
Be locked up as an accessory as well. He hasn't told you? Or?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
He's going to be given a place. But we've only been in Cambridge for 2 years and we've really made the most of it. So we're looking forward to moving on.
Well, I think Cambridge will be slightly less colourful perhaps after your departure, but maybe some other yarn bombers will emerge. Not that we it's difficult with this sort of thing. Do I want to encourage it or not?
I want people just to do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Honestly, that's the total truth. I'm not a complicated knitter. I just love to make people smile. I know that sounds really slushy, but people are happy with the things I've been doing, and I do get affected by the negativity, but it doesn't stop me.
Willow, thank you very much for coming in.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
That's the Cambridge Yarn Bomber, known only as Willow. As I said, I was rather disappointed that she didn't turn up dressed in a brightly coloured balaclava helmet just to hide herself from view. But excellent to meet her. And if you haven't seen a picture of the knitted bike, then go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Cambridge105, and just popped one up on there, and you can take a look. Really is a brightly coloured piece of work. I suspect you couldn't cycle it, though.
105 Drive with Julian Clover. Cambridge 105.
Community Radio in your city. This is Cambridge 105. This weekend is National Mills Weekend. It means that Hinxton and Bourne Mills will both be open to the public. And here to tell me a little bit about all of that is Mary Neelan. She's Head of Development at Cambridge Past, Present and Future. I actually look after the mills. Good evening, Mary. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Julian.
I didn't know this. I'm aware of Cambridge Past, Present and Future. I was aware of the mills, but I never really put the two together.
Oh, right. Well, it's one of many things that we do at Cambridge Past, Present and Future. We don't just look after Hinxton and Bourne Mills. We also look after two green spaces close to the city, one at Wandlebury, the Wandlebury Country Park, which is a much-loved green open space with a Iron Age hill fort at the centre, and we have lots of events and activities there. We also run our environmental education programme from Wandlebury, where we have about 2,500 school children every year come to do environmental education. We have informal events and activities as well. And then we also look after a countryside reserve at Coton, just south of the village on Grantchester Road, where we have a combination of green open space for people to walk and enjoy being out in the open. And we also farm some of that area. We also have orchard trees that we've planted recently. Lots and lots of things. I could go on endlessly about all the different things we do. And then another historic building that we look after is the Leper Chapel on Newmarket Road.
Oh, that's one of yours as well. That's a beautiful
yes,
building,
indeed.
Isn't it? That's the oldest in Cambridge, isn't it?
That's right. The oldest complete building.
The oldest complete building
yes,
in Cambridge.
That's get the distinction.
What's the oldest incomplete building?
Well, I believe the Round Church is older, but it's not complete in the way that the Leper Chapel is at the size and shape.
And do a few running repairs and that sort of stuff.
Well, yeah, but there's always running repairs with historic buildings.
I guess there is a kind of one of the points really of your organisation.
Absolutely.
Tell me specifically about National Mills Weekend. This is coming up this weekend, so
yes.
Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, National Mills Weekend happens every year on the second weekend of May, and it's been going for a long time. I'm not absolutely sure how long, in fact, and it's actually organised by SPAB, the Society for the Protection for the Preservation of Ancient Buildings, and we have two mills which we always open on National Mills Weekend. That's Hinxton Water Mill and Bourne Windmill. And on National Mills Weekend, there are quite a lot of mills open that aren't usually open to the public.
So, how often? I got some dates here for when the Bourne Mill is open, and also Hinxton as well. And it's basically six dates between.
That's right. Yes, what we do is after National Mills Weekend, when we open them both on the same Sunday, we have Hinxton is open on the first Sunday of the month through the sort of summer months.
Oh, yeah, because they've got here 2nd of June, 7th of July, 4th of August and so on. That makes sense.
Yeah, and then Bourne is open on the last Sundays of the
30th
summer
of June,
months.
28th of July, 25th of August and so on and so forth.
Exactly.
But this weekend, both open, which must put a little bit of pressure on your group, no doubt.
Well, yes. I mean, we do have a dedicated band of super volunteers who do most of the work at both the mills. They're always keen to try and get more people to come along and get involved, and it can range from anybody who just sort of quite fancies the idea of being part of an event to people who are sort of have some engineering mechanical knowledge who want to sort of tinker around a bit and help can sort of help make.
So if you turn up there, what do you get to see? Is it sort of do they do? I don't know. What do they make? Can you make stuff there?
Well, at Bourne we can't make anything. Although a lot of the old machinery is still in the mill. It has this amazing feature that it's a post mill. So it sits on a really massive oak post, but you can turn the entire mill. It's quite small. I don't expect it's hard to imagine turning a mill because most people have this vision of something really quite large, I suspect. But it's you can get about four or five, maybe six people inside it at one time. But actually, on the whole, we try not to turn it when there are people inside. But you can turn the whole thing on its post, and it's great
fun. So literally almost in a circle?
Yeah,
or
in
half,
a circle.
Halfway.
Yeah.
Does it go round and round, or does it then have to come back again the opposite direction?
I think it goes round one direction only, but actually, I don't think I've ever been asked that question before. I would need to check with our volunteers.
Sorry,
I said when I
asked you to come in, I said, it's not news night, there won't be anything difficult. No, I've just done it there. I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine. But it's lovely to be able to do that. And the reason for turning it is because when the mill was used to grind corn, you turned it into the wind so that that made the sails
so round. Sails went round, and presumably then you got the benefit, because if the wind's in the wrong direction,
absolutely,
there's still no use having a windmill.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. So it very, very versatile mill. Yeah.
So when was it built?
It's really, really old. The earliest knowledge we have of Bourne is around about the 15th century, although that design of mills has existed for much, much longer. Therefore, it's listed as a scheduled ancient monument. And it is believed to be one of the oldest in the country.
So, and how long has Cambridge, past, present and future, been looking after it
we've
for?
We've looked after it since the 1930s, so really quite a long time. It was given to the society when we were the Cambridge Preservation Society. And Hingston we've looked after for less time, since about the 1980s, when we were encouraged to take it on. It was getting very, very tumble down.
I was going to ask, what would have happened if you hadn't have taken it on, which I guess is a similar question for lots of buildings, which is probably quite obvious, the answer.
Well, I suspect it would just have continued to decline and eventually fallen into the river, I suspect. But fortunately, that didn't happen. And we were able to, with a combination of grants and gifts and donations, and the village got involved as well, we were able to restore the mill and open it to the public on these Sundays during the summer.
How expensive is it to keep one of these, either mill or any property for that matter, in good repair? Because even just by being there, regardless of the fact that you've got the good public of Cambridgeshire traipsing around them every once in a while, they're normal wear and tear, the elements and all that sort of
absolutely
stuff play a part.
Oh, absolutely. It's very costly just to keep it in good shape, make sure that it's kept weatherproof. And so we're always looking for people to help us, either by joining our organisation. I mean, Cambridge Past, Present and Future is a membership organisation, or by making a donation to our work. We try to get, companies involved in what we're doing. And we can actually sometimes, get companies to come and do some bits and pieces of work on one of our open days or at another time. So we're very keen for people to get involved in any one of a number of ways.
So really, it's not necessarily cash skills, it's actually it's human skills, if you like, the ability to be able to fix things, to be good at things, to help keep them in good shape, presumably under the under the watchful eye of one of your representatives.
Well, absolutely. It's good to have a combination of both of those things, but getting people to volunteer to help us on the open days and to help with looking after the machinery is something we're really keen to get people to come and help us with. Yeah, definitely.
I've got a text in from Lee, who says he has been to Bourne and Hingston Mill with the family. Great, these places are looked after so well for future generations to enjoy. And I guess that's kind of the point, really, isn't it? Because you're putting them in your care, and as a result of that, we can see them now. One of them, you were saying, it was Bourne, wasn't it, which you took on in the 1930s.
That's right, yeah.
And the fact that it's there today is probably due to the work of Cambridge Past, Present and Future and their predecessors.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, I think it was very likely that it would have been very hard for anyone to have kept it in private hands, although, of course, there are mills in private hands and people try very hard to keep them in good working order or in good shape. And National Mills Weekend is a good opportunity to visit some of those, as well as mills like ours, which are looked after by a charity, and we are able to open them on a fairly regular basis.
I guess if you plan it right, you could do a little tour of a few of them, couldn't you, really? Mm. There's quite a few around this part of the world.
Yes, they are. And actually, the National Mills Weekend has a website which you can go on if you just Google National Mills Weekend. And there's a list of the mills that are open in the county. Both of ours are open just on Sunday.
What sort of time? That's probably a key factor.
Yes, it's around about 2 o'clock. I think Bourne is open from 2 till 4, and Hinxton Watermill open for a little while longer, 2:30 to 5:30. So you could definitely fit both of those in, and perhaps something else in between.
And is there a charge to get in?
Yes, it's only £3 per adult and £1 for children. So it's a very low cost visit. So we would really love to see as many people as possible come along and visit us.
I'm very tempted actually to spend part of my Sunday afternoon at one of those. That sounds really good. Mary, thank you very much for coming in and telling us all about both the work of Cambridge Past, Present and Future, and of course National Mills Weekend, which is this weekend. Thank you.
Thanks very much.